Welcome to First and Felony, the true crime podcast where we explore the crimes committed by athletes. This week we'll be covering five stories that have been in the news recently.
Breaking news this hour, San Francisco 49er Bruce Miller behind bars this afternoon for allegedly assaulting two people.
Former San Francisco 49ers tight end Bruce Miller will be arraigned on Friday for an alleged assault. Miller faces seven felonies, including assault with a deadly weapon. That weapon was supposedly a cane. The other charges are one count of assault with force to cause great bodily harm, one count of inflicting injury on an elder or dependent adult, likely to cause great bodily injury, one count of battery with serious bodily injury, two counts of criminal threats, and a misdemeanor battery charge. Miller attempted to enter a hotel room that was occupied by an elderly couple, ages 70 and 66, and when the couple's son, staying in the adjacent room, tried to intervene, Miller charged at him. The 70-year-old was punched in the face by Miller, and both father and son were transported to a hospital for their injuries. Miller can be seen on a security video, wandering around the hotel, his face bloody, before vomiting a great deal.
Clerk Dinesh Streshta says Miller sat on some steps and threw up.
He had a cut somewhere in the head, and there was a little bit of blood over in the face. He was throwing up and he was bleeding.
Police were called to the hotel about 2:45 a.m. Here is the actual 911 call of the dispatcher sending police to investigate the incident at the hotel.
14 Evidence Line said the suspect on the HRD 14 from the Marriott is Bruce Miller, south of 86 of 87, should be somewhere on the prem of the Marriott, and they need a couple more units. Adam 15 Everett is responding. Can I get another unit? Copy the Adam 15 Everett and the Adam 13 Everett responding. 15 Everett, 10-4.
And Miller was booked in the county jail at 11:25 Monday morning. The 49ers released him hours later. Miller served on the team's leadership council, representing the tight ends previously. In 2015, Miller pled no contest to disturbing the peace, an incident where he allegedly pushed his ex-fiancée to the ground and smashed her phone. Prosecutors wound up charging him with vandalism after the assault investigation was inconclusive. Miller attended a 16-week anti-domestic violence course and could not contact his ex-fiancée. The 49ers released the following statement after Miller's first arrest. We were disappointed to learn of the results and will do our due diligence. Hours before Miller's alleged assault in the hotel, Miller was escorted out of Tommy's Joint Restaurant after arguing with a couple sitting at a table about their sandwiches. The couple remained calm and Miller was escorted out by the manager, but Miller spent over 20 minutes staring at the buffet, clearly intoxicated.
Bruce Miller, I think, has a chance to fight his way on an NFL roster with the San Francisco 49ers.
Former Los Angeles Rams running back Trey Mason was arrested on March 5th and charged with resisting arrest, marijuana possession, and reckless driving after being pulled over and eventually tasered. Police have been to Trey Mason's residence five times, and on July 23rd, Mason was taken to the hospital after making irrational statements. Mason accused the police of teaching Al-Qaeda to fly planes and said he would call the White House and have them lose their jobs. Then, on July 27th, Mason was pursued by Palm Beach County, Florida sheriffs after allegedly riding his ATV at more than 80 miles per hour. Mason fled after the sheriffs turned on their sirens, at which point Mason retreated to his mother's home. Here is the audio following the police pursuit of Mason's ATV.
It's a football star looking guy.
Oh.
What?
Go back to that.
That's who it looks like. That's him.
Oh, I know who that is.
Yeah? Is that, okay.
They call him, Trey.
Come on, Trey. Come on out, buddy. Hey, Mom, wait, huh? Wait, Mom. Just let him know. If he comes out now, just give him some tickets and go on. If not, then I'll have to go to the prosecutor's office, sign out the warrants, and kick on the door.
He's blowing his career away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Plus, how do I describe him?
He's supposed to be in training camp right now.
Okay.
But that's why the vehicle that
Oh, the Maserati and all that, okay. What's that?
I said, I don't even want to step foot outside.
Okay, no, okay, I understand. I'm not going to arrest you. I will arrest you if you don't want to. I'm going to give you some citations. Right. I'm going to keep it traffic, okay? I'm not going anywhere. Come here a second, Trey, all right? Yeah, you promised to be at your court date. That's all it's going to be.
I don't agree to that.
What's that?
Trey, please.
Then if you don't, because I'm trying not to give you a rough time, Trey, all
right? Right now, he should be, or just coming up, he should be in training camp over there in California somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
But he's f***ing around over here. His career going down the tube.
Hi, how are you? Your mom?
Yep.
Hi, Mom.
Well, we've been trying to get him not to ride over and over and over and over. So, I mean, to watch it wide away is a blessing, actually. Yeah. He's 22 in a 10-year-old mindset right now. No, really. It's been, obviously, you guys see the articles, the reports.
No.
Trey is not himself at all. He's not making good decisions.
He should be playing football is what he should be doing.
No, actually, he shouldn't.
Well,
because this is the football that drives everybody that no one even knows about.
Like, you get knocked around and everything else.
Okay, some people can...
You can say he should be playing football and doing
career,
but this is not what it is. Like, this, after the off season, clearly, we could see the change.
No, definitely
like,
coming back.
Completely.
Oh, okay.
I mean, as much as he's accomplished, as much as he's, as hard as he's worked, and as much as he built his character, record-breaking time, it's going downhill because of what's going on.
Then
everybody's like, well, he should be doing, he doesn't even know, he's not even conscious enough. So, you're not dealing with Trey.
The Rams haven't heard from Mason since he failed to report to training camp on July 29th. There is no indication that Mason plans to resume his NFL career. If Mason's behavior is a result of football, it is clearly not the best solution to any of his physical or mental issues.
Yes, hi, how are you? I'm just calling. I'm over at the International Mall. I'm coming out of the mall, and I think you got a crash on the Palmetto just north of 103rd Street. I see a van facing the wrong way. And people walking around, they're next to the median.
It's
northbound on the Palmetto, inside lane. On 103rd Street, let me see if there's a hell of a cop people can wave them down. Nope, he kept going.
All right, thank you, sir. We're good.
He's gone. Let me see the other one here.
Okay,
hold on.
All right.
Oh, yeah, how you doing?
Former NFL star Lawrence Taylor was arrested in Palm Beach County, Florida, under suspicion of DUI.
Deputies say Taylor was driving south on the turnpike near Beeline Highway when troopers say he switched lanes and hit a motorhome and then sideswiped a patrol vehicle.
Lawrence Taylor is currently on probation. In 2011, Taylor pled guilty in New York to sexual misconduct and patronizing a prostitute. Both were misdemeanor charges. He was sentenced to 6 years probation, even though the prostitute was only 16 years old. U.S. Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte has been suspended 10 months as a result of his role in a Rio de Janeiro gas station incident during the Olympics.
The 12-time Olympic medalist now taking responsibility for what he says was immature behavior in Rio.
Lochte will not be able to compete in the 2017 National Championships, making him ineligible for the 2017 World Championships in Hungary. Lochte will also have to perform 20 hours of community service and forfeits access to USOC training facilities and funding.
I over-exaggerated that story, and if I'd never done that, we wouldn't be in this mess.
The other three swimmers involved in the incident, Gunnar Bentz, Jack Conger, and James Fain, also will face 4-month suspensions.
I let my team down.
Lochte claimed he and three other swimmers were victims of a robbery before a police investigation revealed that the swimmers were stopped at a gas station by security guards after vandalizing the gas station bathroom.
The version we're hearing now is much more about a negotiated settlement to cover up some dumb behavior.
Brazilian authorities have charged Lochte with falsely reporting a crime, which could bring a fine or up to 6 months in jail. James Fain agreed to pay $10,800 to a charity to settle the case, while Benson Conger have not faced any charges so far. The Columbus Prosecutor's Office announced it would not pursue charges against Ezekiel Elliott. Elliott was accused of committing domestic violence on 5 separate occasions by his girlfriend Tiffany Thompson. The prosecutor's office released documents related to the case, including witness statements, photographs, and text messages. Here is a sworn statement from Erin Mason, who claimed she was with Tiffany Thompson on July 22, 2016, the day Thompson called police to report Elliott had assaulted her. Here is Erin Mason's affidavit. On the night of July 21, 2016, at approximately 11:45 p.m., I attended the social room located at 527 North Park Street, Columbus, Ohio, with Tiffany Thompson. At approximately 2 a.m. July 22, 2016, I exited the social room with Tiffany to walk to our vehicle, and Tiffany was approached by another female who proceeded to physically assault Tiffany by first slapping Tiffany in the face and pulling her hair. A fight ensued for approximately a few minutes before it was broken up. I was able to help break up the fight by grabbing Tiffany's waist to help separate her from the other female. After the fight outside the social room, Tiffany and I walked to our vehicle, and Tiffany explained to me that Ezekiel Elliott, was having a gathering at his rented apartment at the Carriage House in Columbus, Ohio. Tiffany drove herself and I to the Carriage House, and because we were the first ones to arrive, we waited in our vehicle in the parking lot for Elliott and his friends to arrive. When Ezekiel's vehicle pulled up to the Carriage House parking lot, Ezekiel was sitting in the passenger seat and another female was driving. When Tiffany saw another female driving Ezekiel's vehicle, Tiffany exited our vehicle, approached the female driver in Ezekiel's vehicle, and started screaming at the female driver. The female driver, Ezekiel, and other passengers in the vehicle exited and started to walk towards the Carriage House. At no point did Ezekiel walk to the Carriage House, or at any time during the night, did I witness Ezekiel come into physical contact with Tiffany or touch Tiffany. While Ezekiel and his friends entered the Carriage House, Tiffany yelled at Ezekiel that she was going to ruin his career and call the police. After Ezekiel and his friends went inside the Carriage House, I waited outside with Tiffany, and Tiffany told me that she was calling the police. While the police were questioning Tiffany, Tiffany told me via text messages to tell the police that Ezekiel pulled her out of the vehicle and assaulted her, which is untrue. When the police arrived, I was questioned and told the police the truth, which is consistent with the facts in this affidavit. Signed, Erin Mason, July 2016. Here's the official press release from the prosecutor's office. On Friday, July 22, 2016, Tiffany Thompson, in conjunction with a previously publicized Columbus police report, filed an intake complaint with the city's attorney's office prosecutor division. Her complaint included alleged allegations of domestic violence by her boyfriend, Ezekiel Elliott, on 5 separate occasions. The time period of the allegations encompassed Sunday, July 17, 2016, through Friday, July 22, 2016. Ms. Thompson completed the required paperwork and intake staff conducted an interview where specific details of each allegation were gathered. Witness statements, police reports, medical records were acquired. Photographs of text messages and visible injuries were taken. Upon completion of the initial investigation phase, the complaint was evaluated by a prosecutor. The evaluation called for a follow-up with several witnesses and a closer examination of all the evidence presented. Subsequent to the filing of the intake complaint by Ms. Thompson, the City Attorney's Office Prosecutor Division was contacted by both a representative and legal counsel for Mr. Elliott. These individuals were cooperative with the investigation and provided additional information, including witness affidavits and photographs, for review and consideration. A final evaluation of the complaint for potential charges involved an assessment of the credibility of all identified witnesses based on the accuracy and thoroughness of their statements, both standing alone and in comparison to each other. Moreover, there was a careful examination of all the injuries and an attempt to determine the source of their cause. Finally, the potential motive, if any, of all parties was examined. After reviewing the totality of the evidence, the City Attorney's Office Prosecutor Division is declined to approve criminal charges in this matter for any of the 5 alleged incidents. This is primarily due to conflicting and inconsistent information across all incidents, resulting in concern regarding the sufficiency of the evidence to support the filing of criminal charges. Thank you for listening to First in Felony. If you like what we do, please rate and review on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, or through my website, ffpod.net. Also, make sure to join the conversation on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at First in Felony, and you can email the show anytime at firstinfelony@gmail.com. This podcast was produced by Courtney Howerton and Russell Corona, edited, mixed, and hosted and written by Russell Corona, with sound and music and studio space provided by Dominic Tiberio. You can find his music on SoundCloud. If you like what we do, all I ask is that you share us with another person. Thank you for listening. We hope to have another episode out soon.